I want us to get right into the Word of God. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, begin reading with verse 22. I want to talk to you this morning about, this is talking about God. When you get there, He will be there. Amen. You say, well, God is everywhere. God is everywhere He wants to be. He's God. And He can be anywhere and everywhere. And you're never alone. Because whatever you're going to go through or whatever, God is already there. He'll be there when you get there. You're not alone. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made His disciples to get into the boat and to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was there alone. Now the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." When Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Father, I praise You, Lord, for Your divine presence this morning that we're so blessed to have. And I thank You, Lord, for Your word today. And I pray that You'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture, that You just speak to the heart, the mind, the will of every person here as only You can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been on your way to somewhere and you forgot where you were going? If you're over 50, you probably have. Man, heard of a guy that couldn't find something. He was searching from one place to another trying to find what he was looking for. And so he went from one room to the next. He says, "I believe in the hereafter, but I forgot what I'm here after." But it's difficult to see how that God can be anywhere at any time. However, He is God. Therefore, He's capable of all things, whether we understand it or not. You and I are limited in many aspects. We have limited knowledge and understanding. I've met a few people that thought they knew everything. After I talked to them a little while, I realized they didn't know everything. And I didn't either. So we have limited knowledge, but God, His knowledge and His understanding is unlimited. He understands everything and all things. He understands you. He understands what you're going through. He understands your limitations. He knows your strength and your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. But so we must have His guidance continually. Amen. If I'm asking directions to go somewhere, I may pull over to a station or a convenience store now. Used to have gas stations. And they might know something about the city and tell me to where I need to go or what turns I need to make. But my friend, when it comes to spiritual things, we need spiritual guidance. And many people are headed down the road in the way of life and they have no guide. They have nobody that's going to direct them in the right steps. All they can depend upon is what their mind and carnal will can come up with. We need God, friend. Amen. And we need God to direct our steps. If you're a true born-again believer, you're on your way to heaven, you need God to direct your steps. Praise the Lord. We notice first here in the scripture that Jesus went to pray. He sent his disciples away. They were tired. They had ministered all day, and Jesus sent the multitudes away. And so they left, and Jesus let his disciples get into the boat to go to the other side, probably the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus went alone up in the mountain to pray. And you may ask the question, does Jesus need to pray? Isn't he Emmanuel, God with us? Yes, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, but he's Son of God, Son of Man, referring to his humanity, Son of God, referring to his deity. But Jesus needed to pray, and he needed to commune with his Heavenly Father for the works that he did while he was here on the earth that are recorded in Scripture. He heard from his Father, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to perform this miracle. You're going to go there. You're going to heal this person. You're going to heal the sick. And God gave him the authority to do so. As a matter of fact, after he was resurrected from the dead, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Okay? And so God's not limited in any way. So Jesus set the example here with us. He communed with his Heavenly Father continually. He was teaching us that we need to separate ourselves regularly and pray. And Jesus had been with the crowd all day. He needed to talk with his Heavenly Father. And so he went up into a mountain to pray. And so you may say, well, when's the last time you prayed? And you say, I'll pray all time. Yes, you may pray and ask God for things and talk to God all the time when you're doing your daily chores. But have you ever just set aside everything else and shut out the world and say, God, I need just you. I need to pray to just you today. Amen. We can read books of prayer. We can read testimonies here and there. But my friend, there's something different about that and a personal encounter, personal relationship with God. Whether you get on your face before God and say, God, I need your help today. I need to hear from you today. I want to tell you, our God is not too busy with too many people to hear your need. His ears are open to the cry of his people. He knows what you're going through. He understands it before you ever get there. And when you get to the thing you think you can't stand, he'll already be there to help you. Man. So Jesus went up into a mountain to pray, and he was there alone. As far as humanity was concerned, but he was with his Father. And my friend, this is how we can face life and its challenges. Is when we pray, we're not alone. We serve a God who is always present. In the book of Isaiah, it makes mention there of the presence of God. When God tells a prophet here, and the prophet Isaiah didn't have an easy job. He was preaching to a backslidden people that weren't going to repent. And we're not going to get back right with God. But God assured him he would be with him everywhere. And God told him, he said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am your Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel. And so God was telling Isaiah, said, whatever you go through, I'm already there. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you no matter where you go or what happens. I'm going to be with you. And let's look at this. God is always there. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Daniel was in the he was put in a lion's den, and back then they had a lion's den that was one means of execution. They'd throw you in the lion's den, and the lions would have you for lunch, whether the preacher was through preaching or not. But what they did, they put these lions in a den, and they starved them for several days or a week at a time. They had nothing to eat. And when somebody was thrown to the lions, it was instant execution, and the lions feasted on the person that was being executed for whatever crimes they committed. And so it was given that the rulers of this kingdom said, you know, they went to the king, said, we're going to make a rule here that if anybody makes a request or prays to any other god but you, making their leader a god, for 24 hours, they'll be thrown into the lion's den, or 30 days, thrown in the lion's den. And so the king signed the decree according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which could not be taken away. But however, they found Daniel praying to somebody besides the king. And three times a day, Daniel would lift his window and open it toward Jerusalem and there pray toward the God of Jerusalem. And this day, when he knew the decree was signed, he did the same as he did every day. He opened up his heart and began to pray to God facing Jerusalem. And they found Daniel and they said to the king, O king, you have signed a decree here that nobody can pray to any other God except you for 30 days. And if they do, they'll be given to the lions. Well, the king was very displeased with himself, but he couldn't change it according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which could not be broken. And Daniel must be thrown into the lion's den. And you know, in Scripture, we tend to put ourselves there. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm of no temptation to put myself there. Me either. But we know that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and expected that he would be immediately executed and be thrown to the hungry lions. But yet there, Daniel was not alone. When he got to the den of lions, God was already there. And he shut the lions' mouths, and they did not execute Daniel. And the king called the next morning, hoping, oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel replied, I'm here, O king. And God was with me and has shut the lions' mouths, and I'm all right. He was taken out of the lion's den. Then those who falsely accused him, they were thrown to the lions, and they were immediately eat up. So I want to tell you, when you get there, God will be there. Man. And so what God, Jesus is doing here, he's teaching us to pray. He went on the mountain and he's there in prayer. And so he was teaching them to pray. And things happen in life when unbelievers pray. Let me give you another illustration here of Jonah. Everybody knows the story of Jonah. Or I thought everybody did, but they do. If you don't know the story of Jonah, you can read the book of Jonah. Four chapters. And so we know that Jonah ran from God, and God prepared a storm on the sea, and the sailors knew that they were in trouble. They were going to sink, and they were going to die in the sea if something wasn't done. And all the sailors cried out to their God, the false gods all around them, and Jonah was asleep in the ship. Here he was, a backslidden preacher asleep. So they went down to Jonah and said, wake up, O sleeper. What do you mean by sleeping? We're in a storm. We're going to perish. Cry out to your God, whoever he is. Do you see? God was there. God prepared the storm, but also God prepared something for Jonah. And King James says a whale. Well, that's what I was always taught, a great fish, better. And so we know that Jonah, finally he convinced the people that he was the reason for the storm and that they would throw him into the ocean, then the sea would become calm. And that's exactly what happened. They threw him into the sea and the sea became calm. And when it became calm, even those pagan people, they offered sacrifice to the God of Israel. But God had prepared a great fish, and the great fish swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights. But even in the belly of this great fish, God was there. And talk to Jonah in the great fish. I mean, can you understand God? You know, he's talking, he's in the belly of the whale there with blubber on every side. Say, God, how? But God was there. God is all present, all powerful, all knowing. He can do far greater than we can imagine. And so we know that here in the belly of the whale, Jonah prayed through, and after a while, the fish got sick of the preacher and threw him up on the shore. It's the easiest way I know how to say it. So here he was. He slid out. I got to move on here. But he went out and he was willing to go where God had told him, go to Nineveh and preach. And he went there and preached, and God caused a revival to come there. And the men of Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, repented of their sins and fasted in sackcloth and ashes. And God did a great work there in Nineveh, the wickedest city on the planet. God did a great work there. But yet God had to get this prophet Jonah's attention. And yet God was there. God was with him. God was able to speak to him. And God and we, he learned dependence on God. And you and I, we are all dependent on other people for various things, but we're also dependent upon God to lead us right. Mankind will fail, and sometimes God, mankind's instructions, probably many times man's instructions are not good enough, but when God talks, when God speaks to us through his word, or by him, he speaks to us through our minds sometimes. Not the carnal mind, but the mind of Christ. And he speaks to you, and God can give you direction and help you in difficult things, even in the belly of a whale. Hopefully none of you will ever have to go through that, but there's things that are similar that people go through that they need God to be there. And here in our story here in Matthew 14, we find that God was present in what would be a seemingly impossible situation. At no place was the Sea of Tiberias more than 10 miles in breadth. So they were literally in the middle of the sea. And here storms came, which was not unusual. In verse 24, now the boat, it was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And so we know that here they are, and a kind of storm comes upon them, and they were being tossed by the waves. They needed a God that was present. Man. My friend, just an application here, there may be things in your lives that toss you to and fro. You have battle in your mind of what I'm going to do here, what I'm going to do there. You can't get people to behave like you want them to. You may join the crowd. You're probably never going to get everybody to believe or think just exactly like you do. Because if they did, I'll let you finish. But we need to know the will of God, the purpose of God, and we begin to call on God. God is not absent. He's present. They were tossed by the waves, and when the life in the natural offers no means of escape or deliverance, and when fear sets in, and fear does come in various times in your life, when you need God to be there. But he takes control of the mind, the will, and the emotion. And this was the case here. And they may have felt out of control. They felt tossed about. They felt like there wasn't a sensible answer to any problem. And, of course, Peter came up. Oh, yes, Lord, if that's you, I can walk to you on the water. Man. But, you know, God gives us some type of thing called common sense. And I don't know if Peter was using that time, but he was trusting God. I remember a few years ago when Sarah Palin, former governor of Alaska, and she was asked answers to political issues, and she said if Congress would just use common sense, everything would be better. But you know, you have to have some common sense before you can use it. But here, there was nothing that made sense that could stop this wind and wave. The wind was contrary. I've met contrary people. You have too. You and I both have been contrary at times. But when it comes to wind, natural forces of nature, wind is unpredictable. It cannot be controlled by human means. It takes God to control. Amen. Global warming can't control it. Nothing can control it except God. In hurricane weather, people prepare. They change locations. They build underground houses. But the wind still comes. And so wind is a powerful natural force, but there is a spiritual force called wind too. It's called the Holy Spirit. On the days of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had come, there entered into that place where they were gathered together, there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. And it was to tell the people that God is here, that God hasn't left you, that God isn't somewhere afar off, but to testify to them that this Christ who died on the cross is risen, he's alive, he's true, he's well, he did what he said he'd do. He said, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They would face trial, they would face execution for their faith, they would find all kinds of persecution against them, but whenever persecution came, God was there. He wasn't there. He was always there. He was never absent. He was a present Jesus. And this Jesus that we serve, he's never troubled or wondering, what in the world should I do? And Jesus came walking on their greatest fear, the waves and the wind. Neither of them bothered Jesus. He just walked as if on dry ground on the water. He wasn't absent but present. He was greater than their fears, greater than their reasonings, greater than their rowing ability. And the Bible says they were afraid, verse 26. They cried out for fear and said, it's a ghost. When they say Jesus, they didn't recognize him at first. I don't know how they thought a ghost could walk on water either. But anyway, they said, it's just a spirit, you know, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And you see, in life, we understand fear happens. You're afraid this is going to happen. You're afraid I've offended this person or that person. I'm afraid they're not going to like me anymore. I'm afraid that I'm going to be without. Man, let me tell you something. God loves you. And if nobody else does, God does. In reality, more than God does, there are many people that do, whether you realize at the time or not. And so, Jesus here was greater than their fears, greater than their reasonings, greater than their ability to row to shore. They were in a storm. There's no way in the natural sense they could get away from this storm. They were in the middle of the sea, tossed to and fro by the wind. They were afraid. At the time of their greatest fear, Jesus was present. And Jesus knew this would happen. He was teaching them to trust instead of fear. And you and I, we deal with fear in our world. Fear concerning the times that we're in. Fear concerning the end times. Even Jesus said there will be some fear in the end times. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. You know, I'm not scared of nuclear war. I'm not scared of what mankind's going to do. God is in charge. He's greater than nuclear war. Amen. He can wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah just like that if he wants to. And did. But yet, in the end times, if you don't trust in God, this is what's going to happen to you. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear. When Jesus began to testify and tell them what things would happen in the end time, men's hearts will be failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Power of the heavens will be shaken, not heaven itself. And so we know that people's hearts may fail them from fear. And I believe in society today we can see that people are afraid that something's going to happen. People are not just at peace in society. You say, well, they never have been. Yeah. To some extent, but yet their people feel like something could happen or might happen. Something will happen one day. Jesus will come. So men's hearts failing their fear, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to start having heart attacks. Men's hearts failing them for fear, it just means that people are going to be upset not knowing what to do, as the disciples were here in the ship and not knowing what in the world they were going to do. Thought they were going to drown, thought this was it. But we deal with fear, and God meant for us to have faith instead of fear. As a matter of fact, God didn't put fear in your life. Yes, fear in the sense of the reverence and respect for God, but not fear in the sense that you're scared of everything. Okay? There's things that cause you to fear in the natural sense, but not in the spiritual sense. God gave us 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? Power to live above fear. My friend, there's a reason Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, is to empower us to live above fear. He would empower the disciples to preach the gospel there, even though they would be persecuted and be killed for their faith. And they went to places that they wouldn't have gone had God had not caused persecution to break out. Because when persecution breaks out, the gospel just goes forward. It covers more territory. And even they were willing to go down to Samaria and preach there. And Samaritans and Jews didn't mix in any way. But yet, Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel to them, and people were saved and healed and filled. Signs and wonders and miracles happened even among the most unlikely, the Samaritans. And so God had his reasons, and God was in Samaria. He wasn't absent. So God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power to live above fear. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live above fear. Amen. You need to understand something, friend. We're not here forever. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to head God's heavenly shore. Amen. The old song says that. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So we need the Holy Spirit to live above fear. God given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. We need to live knowing God loves us. And if God loves us, he will never be absent from us. When you're born again of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God indwells you. And he's never absent. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. I've known people that were tormented with fear. They just worried about something all the time. Amen. If they didn't have anything to worry about, they'd worry something's wrong with them because they weren't worrying about something. That may be you. I don't know. Let God speak to you. But if we feel and certain that God loves us, he's not going to let anything come our way that's going to destroy us. Our part is to yield to him and follow him and live for him and walk with him. And if we walk outside of him and decide to go out on our own, then you are on your own. But God never meant for you to be alone. He saved you to keep you. He saved you to you to walk this straight and narrow path till you reach heaven. He didn't say, go on the side road somewhere else and live it up for a while and then come back to me. No, he said, follow the straight and narrow which leads to life everlasting. Amen. We don't serve a temporary God, and God didn't mean for you to be a temporary Christian or just to be a Christian when it was convenient or when it would please everybody else to hear you say that you're a Christian. God meant for you to stay with him, walk with him, serve him until you reach heaven. Glory to God. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Fear involves torment. And the scripture says here, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Power, love, and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. The ability to see God present in a circumstance. Here the disciples had to recognize who was with them. Jesus rebuked the wind, and there was suddenly everything was calm. There was no winds blowing. There was no high winds. There was no high waves. They weren't threatened. It was calm because the Creator spoke the word, and it was still. It was calm. No matter what you may be going through, friend, though it may seem the waves of discouragement, despair, depression are high, when we talk to God, God can calm the storm that's in your mind and your heart and your life and give you the strength to carry on, to go on. Amen. Because when you get there, God will already be there. The place where the disciples was, God was already there. Amen. And God has given us something else. I know I'm veering off here in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of power of love, and of a sound mind. A mind that's fixed on God. Knowing that God is almighty. Knowing he's not just an answer of a sort, but he is the only answer. And knowing that he always responds and he's not absent. My friend, let's don't walk in fear. Let's walk in love and in faith. And knowing God is who he says he is. Praise the Lord. A sound mind. Okay? Many of you, most of you know that I suffered traumatic brain injury 18 years ago. Thank God for healing power 18 years. Praise the Lord. But you know, they asked me about brain injury. Somebody told me, said, it's just all in your mind. Or it's just mind over matter. And I said, okay, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. I had to learn to joke about it, okay? But God has given us a mind where we can hear Him and know Him and have certainty in our heart that God has given us the okay to go forward. Amen. The enemy would like you to stay in despair. He'd like for you to stay in fear, in uncertainty all the time, and your life to be a wreck because you're always worried about the next trial that's going to come along. I've been around trial and tribulation Christians. If they weren't going through a tribulation, they were going to. And it's all that kind of thing. But I want to tell you something. Whatever you have to face, let's face it in faith. This God that we serve is not absent. He's not weak. He's not a failure. He's with you. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The Bible tells us those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Praise the Lord. So God has given us a sound mind. Last of all, God does speak. In verse 27... Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, God still talks. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I who? It is God in the flesh. It is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is saying, I spoke this world into existence. I made seas and oceans and waters. I made fish. I made everything that's on this earth. I made planets and stars and galaxies. I know everything. Amen. He says, don't be afraid. It is I. Amen. Tell you something, friend, we still serve the same God today, the same creator, the same giver of life. Yet he did all these great things, yet he is so personable that he can talk to your heart and be concerned about your every problem, your every need, your every fear, your every worry. He's not too great that he can't come down to where you are. Matter of fact, that's what he did when Jesus came to earth, is God coming down to man. Amen. We didn't go up to him, he came down to us. Man. And so the God that created the wind and the sea and the waves, they're under his command and control, and they had to obey when Jesus spoke. And the power was demonstrated to Peter. He said, Jesus, if you can walk in water, maybe I can. And Peter walked on the water, but when he saw the wind and the waves around him, he began to sink. Because you see, when everything around him looked impossible, his faith went weak, and he forgot who he was walking toward, Jesus. But the wind ceased, and he started to sink, and he hollered out, Lord, save me, as he began to sink. And Jesus lifted him up. I mean, friend, he knew who to call on. When you're taking in water faster than you can spit it out, you need somebody greater than you. And so Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus did save him immediately. Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you have a little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And they had greater revelation here and said, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are the Son of God. My friend, the Son of God is our Master. The one who has control of the wind and the waves, the worries and the cares and the fears and all things that come against humanity. I want to tell you something. He's been where we are. He's walked through the same fears and trials that you and I have. The problem is, the difference is, he's never failed. He never failed his Father. Amen. He has authority over all things still. You need to trust him. You need to walk with God. Don't fear what will happen or where you'll be 10 years from now. But when you get there, God will already be there if he's your Savior. Amen. Let's live for him.